Time to be together, to come in out of the rain and let God rain on our hearts. Does that sound like a good idea? We have a praise report. Tony Cooper has come through major surgery, 4 hours on Tuesday, cutting here to operate back here with bone spurs that was on his spine that have practically mobilized him for years. And the doctor says they do not know how this man's alive, because when they got in there was such a mass of stuff, it took 4 hours to untangle it. So he just got released from the hospital on Friday, and he's here today. Let's stand up, give him a praise. Do you want to say anything?
I guess I can. I'll brag on the Lord a little bit.
Hold it close to you now.
Hello. Hey, this has been a wild ride for me, but it has been really awesome, and I feel like I've grown in the Lord through the whole thing. 4 weeks ago, me and Doreen and Jan and Mary Ellen and my wife prayed for me, and that would turn around the insurance company, because the insurance company was actually fighting against this, and they didn't want me to have it done. The next day after we prayed, the phone rang from my lawyer. Hey, they're going to go ahead and pay for this the next day. And then 2 weeks later, it was scheduled, and we prayed just the Sunday before I went into major surgery, it couldn't have went any better. You know, I'm standing, I'm walking, and you get fear when you start talking about somebody's having a knife, you know, millimeters away from your spinal cord. It was just one of those things. I had to just surrender that fear and say, I know you're with me, Lord. You know, I don't know how it's going to work out, but one way I know is you're always going to be with me. Whether it goes good, whether it goes bad, you're going to be with me. Fear kept going away, they had surgery. Everything went really well. I just want to praise the Lord for that and just say thank you to everybody that prayed for me. I appreciate all your prayers. I just love you guys, and I'm glad to be here. That's all I got.
Amen. Wow, isn't God good? Only he can get the credit for that. Released from the hospital on Friday, and he drove himself here today. Wow. And Tommy is beginning to get better from his knee surgery. So we're trusting, as I have on the PowerPoint, a picture that I got from Chuck Pierce, that we've just come past the Passover last week. We are in that season where the Passover was the time that the Israelites were released from their idols and from the being slaves to Egypt. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been released from your idols and being a slave to sin and death. Isn't that good news? Now, when the Israelites left, how long was it they wandered around in the wilderness? 40 years. And people tell us today that if they had believed God, walked straight forward with him, they could have made the journey in 11 days. And you know, I know our God is such a patient God. What I should have learned quickly and been on my way, I wander around and around, and he says, okay, Doreen, when you get to the end of yourself, I'll hear and we'll move forward. Have any of you all experienced those things also? We are in a season now that we've come to the end of an 8-year preparation in order to step into a new level. Is everybody here ready to step into a new level with God? I believe we are. Because we're here not because we want to meet somebody other than God. We are here because we want to know our God better. We want to walk with Him in His resurrection power. We want to walk with Him in His strength. And so I've titled what I want to share with you all today, Kingdom Inspection. Because if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wants to use your life as a highway through which He brings heaven to earth in you and through you, because the kingdom of God is within you, and as we learn to walk with Him in His power, resurrection power, and His strength, then the kingdom of heaven is released on earth, not only for you personally, but to be a light for all those that want to move forward with Him. And I know that you want to do that because you're here today. Now, many times, I don't know about you, but some of you I know more personally than others, but when you look at the word kingdom inspection, now Chuck retired from the military, and when they said, in the morning we're going to have an inspection, that probably means everything must be in order. Does it not, Chuck? Well, when you think of the word inspection, does that make fear come in you, or does it make eager anticipation to what God's going to show you? I'll have to be honest that many times fear rises in me because I think, I know the emotions I experience, and I know they're not always godly, and I know the things I struggle with, and I know that I haven't arrived yet. And so when we hear there's going to be an inspection, we might think, oh, it's going to be horrible. I'm going to be so embarrassed, and I'm not worthy, and I know all the areas I fail. But do you know all those thoughts are from the enemy? I hope today to share with us that kingdom inspection is a good thing. Why? Because it comes from our God. It comes from our God saying, I love you. We sang these songs today. His love never fails. But do we really believe that? We believe it in our head, but do we really believe it in our heart? That if I mess up, I goof up, I don't do it right, that His love's still there? Do we really, really, really believe that? It's true. He accepts you exactly where you are, but He loves you so much, He's not going to leave you there. He's not going to leave you where you are if you will cooperate with Him and let Him take you a step higher. And that's what He wants to do today. So I challenge each one of you that when I feel worthless, when I feel like I've failed beyond God's ability to rescue me, begin to have a pity party. If you ever felt sorry for yourself, poor old me, what's going to happen to me? I'm just worthless. The job that I am is too big for God to do. Do you know that's just pride? It's as much pride as saying, I got it all together. God's lucky to have me on His team. That's pride. And the other one is pride that I've goofed up so bad, He can't help me. Both of them's pride. And I challenge you, as I'm learning to do, as a way of life, to go into His presence and rest under the tree of life. You know, there's two trees. The tree of life is where we walk in His presence. We give Him our heart. And we say, you do anything with my heart you want to. I open it up. You do anything with my heart you want to. Show me what I need to see about myself so that I can cooperate with you for your power to change it. And you stay there under the tree of life saying, I'm going to walk in your presence because you're the Prince of Peace. You rule and reign. You gained all authority in heaven and earth, and you're just waiting for me to cooperate with you. Now, he is a gentleman, and he will not force himself on you. But when you run to him and say, I want to be in your presence today, and I want to be still, put your name there. Be still, Elizabeth, and know that I am God. Say it to yourself. Be still, Tony, and know that I'm God. And do however long it takes until you can rest in his peace, knowing if you've received him as your Savior, he's in you, and letting the Prince of Peace rise up. And stay there until whatever is taking you out of his presence is crucified and he arises and is in control of your life. And as we do that, our God is able to take us to the next step, which 1 John 3:8 says. 1 John 3:8 says, he who sins is of the devil. Now, when you hear the word sin, what do you think about? Somebody robbed a bank, somebody told a lie, somebody did this or that. And those are sins. But how about describing sin as walking someplace other than the presence of God? That's sin. When we walk someplace other than the presence of God with our heart in his hand, that's sin. Because we're out trying to impress somebody else, trying to get our needs met, trying to do this or that. So that as we learn to walk in his presence as a way of life, then the sins who come from the devil, because he was the one that sinned from the beginning. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil has told us lies about ourselves, who we are, what our calling is. He has every horrible thing that has ever happened to us has come from the devil. And Jesus says, I came to undo all that. I came to tell you the truth so you'll believe the truth about yourself. So that you can walk in my strength and my power. And that is the way that we are to learn to live. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you were given a new heart. You were given a new heart through which Jesus wants to live as a way of life. That was one thing that God showed me many years ago when I started learning to walk with him in the Spirit-filled life, was Galatians 2:20. For him to live in me, I thought I was just to do the best I could for him and turn to him when I couldn't handle it. And being the strong-willed person I am, I thought I could handle a lot of stuff. So therefore, I messed up a lot of stuff. But when we received him as our Savior, he gave us a new heart. And we're to learn to live from the heart Jesus gave us, believing the truth about ourselves, and cooperating with God that the lies that the enemy has told us get destroyed and replaced with the truth. Well, how do we know whether we're living from the new heart or the carnal heart of flesh? Because we get to choose. You evaluate it. You go to Galatians 5:19-21, and you judge yourself. Am I displaying the fruits of control, rejection, despair? If so, I have a barren life. Or you judge it by Galatians 5:22-23. Is love flowing? Is peace flowing? Is joy flowing? Now, joy doesn't mean this giggly Pollyanna type thing. It means peace even in the midst of pain. And so you can judge yourself by those fruits. I know when I first started walking with the Lord, God used Campus Crusade's little booklet, To Live a Spirit-Filled Life, in my life. And I was so shocked because I was raised in church and I knew lying and stealing and adultery were sin. But when I read that I got back in control of my life if I was worrying, if I was being critical, I was so shocked. Because I didn't know worry was sin. I didn't know worry meant I wasn't believing God was big enough for that problem in somebody else or me. And it was life-changing because it gave me a gauge to judge and learn to live from this new heart. Learn to live in His presence as a way of life. Going to bed saying, God, thank you that I can't live the Christian life. Only you can by your Spirit. I can't. You never said I could. You can, and you always said you would. Live through me. Now, as I lay down to sleep, I thank you for what happened in my life today. Now, I commit my spirit, soul, and body to you. And I bind myself to you, Father, as I sleep. And I loose myself from every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the Most High God. And I just want to sleep in your arms tonight. And when you wake up, say, let God arise in me and his enemies be scattered. And I'm excited, God, what you're going to show me today about myself. Inspect me. So that I can see some area that I haven't trusted you for, so that I can trust you, because I want to move upward and onward. Psalms 139:23-24 says, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Have you ever said that to him? Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. That's asking for an inspection from God. Try me and know my thoughts and see there any wicked or hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I remember when I first started speaking here a few years ago, I used that verse, and someone that was about my age that was friends with me at that time said, I challenged them with this verse because I had shared it that morning. When we had lunch together, they said, not praying that. And I said, excuse me, why are you not praying that? Because the past is the past and I'm going forward and I don't want to know anything about the past. And I thought, I don't recommend that. I recommend that you say, God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Because all of us have believed lies about ourselves, about other people. And we need for God to inspect us and show us the truth so that we can move forward. Have you ever said something that it got out of your mouth and you wished you could pull it back and rest a while before you got in that situation and didn't say that thing again? Maybe somebody woke you up from a nap and you're grouchy. Are you grouchy because you got woke up from a nap? Or are you grouchy because they caught you in a vulnerable place and what was in your heart came out? Nothing that happens to you or by somebody else, put that in your heart. They were simply used to expose your heart so you could see what's in there. And so it's important that we do not blame other people. You shouldn't have woke me up from the nap. If you hadn't woke me up from the nap, I wouldn't have been angry. Excuse me? How did my waking you up from a nap put anger in your heart? Now, we are to be considerate of each other, and I'm not saying that. We all learn with our spouses and our children and our neighbors what not to do and what to do. So I'm saying don't provoke. God says don't provoke each other. But if I wake you up from a nap and anger comes out, where was that anger? It was in there. So instead of blaming somebody else, instead of excusing your behavior, instead of defending it or ignoring it or seeking to justify it, ask yourself, what is in me that would cause me to respond that way? And lay your heart before God. God, what is in me that would cause me to respond that way? And not only that, what is it about you, God, that I don't know? What is it about you, God, that I do not know, that if I knew, I wouldn't be struggling with whatever your problem is? God, do I think you not really love me? Do I think you're mad at me? Do I think you've left me because I messed up? What is it about you, God, that I do not understand? So you go back to His Word. I've got books and books and books that I've studied for years on the character of God because I want to know Him. Because I know if I know Him, it will help me to not struggle with some of the things that I struggle with. Because 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But He said to me, 'My grace,'" this is from the Amplified, "'my favor and loving kindness and mercy are enough for you. That is sufficient against any danger and to enable you to bear the trouble manfully. My strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and complete, and show themselves most effective in your weakness." You remember when I talked last month, I said, why is it hard for us to acknowledge that I sinned? I threw that question out. I've been chewing on it for a long time. And I know I've got much, 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 much more to chew out of it. But I'm convinced at this point that one thing is we do not want to confess our weakness because we don't think our God's big enough for it. And number two, we're too proud. We want to think we got it all together. We can pull it off. So pride and unbelief are the worst things that the enemy puts on any of us, however they manifest themselves. But do you know what freedom there is to say, I'm weak? I'm weak. Have you noticed our politically correct world today doesn't use the word sin? What do they say? Oh, I made a mistake. I misspoke. Or that's my bad. Anything to water down just saying, I sinned. And we can say that with excitement because we know that Jesus shed His blood to cover that sin. And we know that we can say, I am weak, because if I'm weak, therefore I will make all the more gladly weak glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So let's look at this. God says, if you say you're weak, can't do it, I surrender myself and abandon myself to you, my God. What's going to happen? His strength and power will show up in you. So we freely say, hey, I'm weak. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still in process. And he just exposed a weakness. And I'm excited because when I say I'm weak and I surrender my heart to him, he says, okay, I'll give you my power and my strength. That's a good exchange, isn't it? That's a good exchange. It makes it so that it's not embarrassing to be inspected, but it's a revelation of what he wants to work on next. Do you know that God tells us in Hebrews 12, 6 through 7, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Now I'm suggesting that we use the word inspect for rebuke and chasten. It fits in here. As many as I love, I rebuke, chasten, and inspect. Therefore be zealous and repent. No place in Scripture will you find, all of us like to be encouraged. I especially, because it's easy to think, Doreen doesn't do anything right. And occasionally when somebody will say, hey, that ministered to me, that encourages me. But we all like it, and we all need it, and we all need to do it to each other. But no place in Scripture does God say, I encourage those I love. But he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten or inspect. So if you're being inspected and he's showing you things in your life that are weaknesses and that you messed up and that you're not perfect, that's because he loves you. That's because he loves you. And he wants to take you higher. He tells us in Revelation 3:19, as I just said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. So the minute he says, Doreen, that was just you relying upon your own strength and your own power, I can say, thank you, God. Thank you. I was oblivious to that. And then Hebrews 12, 6 and 7, he says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges, and every son whom he receives. So if God is correcting you, either by showing you a truth or speaking the truth through somebody else, receive it. Take it to him and say, show me the truth. Now, everything people speak to you may or may not be of God. You have to take it and separate the precious from the vile and see what part of what they're saying is true. But God will use other people to correct you. Don't despise that. Don't run from it. But embrace it and say, God, show me what of that is true. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I'd rather my inspection be here so I can cooperate with him and let him build that area of character in me that only can be built by cooperation. You can't have somebody lay hands on you and release character. Character is built as you're inspected and you're shown weaknesses and you embrace them and say, God, by your strength and your power, God, I will walk with you, obeying you as best I know how. And then you are learning to rule and reign with him on this earth now. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will teach each one's works of what sort it is. Last time when I preached, I closed with having your hand out, saying, letting a flame of fire come out of it, saying, God, burn up anything in my life that doesn't look like you. And I want those things burned up, opened up, revealed now, so that I can agree with him, repenting of my sin and letting his strength and his weakness and his strength and his power flow through me. As we do that, God is building character. He is changing us from one degree of glory to another. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Kenneth E. Hagin Sr. I was not personally, didn't study under him much, but he was a famous Bible teacher that died at in 2003, was born in 1917. Famous Bible teacher, evangelist, involved in the healing revival with Oral Roberts, and he was on radio. He founded Rhema Bible Training Center and College. God used him mightily and tremendously. When he was 15 years old, he was bedridden with an incurable blood disease. During that time, he went to hell 3 times. Wasn't saved at the time. Until God was obviously moving, drawing, working in his life. At 17, he received Jesus as his Savior and said that he received faith by way of God's Word. Now, I was so sobered when I read that he said in his book, Plans, Purpose, and Pursuits, that after pastoring for 20 years, he had an encounter, a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, and Jesus gave him a mild rebuke. He said, for 20 years, you pastored apart from me. And Kenneth was in shock. Why did you allow it, God? God said, you didn't ask. You relied on your gifts. You relied on your anointing. And you didn't ask me. It's so easy to move forward being what it's easy for us to be and not being sure that this is what God wants in our life. As we humble ourselves before God and say, God, I want you to inspect me, we have nothing to fear. Because he says every bad thing that has happened to you and every bad thing you've done, I shed tears until you're healed. Because on the cross, I paid for all of that. I want you to run in my arms and let me embrace you and heal that wound and meet that unmet need. As we're faithful to do that this last week, I had an opportunity to do that. I am A1 type personality, love projects, and once I get the vision for what I know God wants me to do, I want it done yesterday. And it's easy for me to overextend myself and work too hard and run ahead of the Lord. This project I was working on was a landscaping project, and I had brought all of the elements together to make it work, but I couldn't find the last element. And I thought, well, I guess I'll just have to do without it. And somebody suggests I go to a certain place and look, and I went. And when I talked to the owner, I said, I'm looking for such and such. Do you? Yeah, I think I do, up the road at another place, but I don't have time to deal with you today. I've got a really important project. It's going to take me 2 days, and I don't have time to fool with you today. And I said, well, can I go to that place and look? Yeah, you can. And so I went to the place and looked. I am so glad for community. Tony was talking about the need. God's always had somebody, anywhere from 2 to 5 people in my life that'll tell me the truth, because they love God more than me, and they're not just a yes person, they tell me the truth. Well, Jan happened to be with me, and we went to this place, and I found exactly what I was looking for. Well, my personality, well, let's just get it, because I need it now. And he's saying, have to wait 2 days. And I said, you know, this is no big deal. I can put this on my truck. I don't even have to have any help. Man, you can put this on my truck, and we can take it down there. And, yeah, he can't weigh it, but I'll tell him, just look at it, and I'll pay you more than you can guesstimate, because I just want to get on with my project. And Jan said, no, darn, don't think that's a good idea. That you could be caught stealing his stuff here. Oh, okay, hadn't thought of that. And so she said, I'll take a picture with my camera. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, take a picture. So we went back. He's busy with his important project, and I went up to him, and I said, look, I found what I wanted, and you don't have to be bothered with me. Let me go load it myself. And no, have to weigh it. Okay, we've got a picture here, and you've obviously done this long enough that you could guess how much this weighs, and I'll pay you a little bit more just to get on my project. No, did you not hear me? I can't deal with you today. Come back in 2 days. And, wow. So I left, said, okay, I'll see you in 2 days. And as we left, I just was in shock that somebody wouldn't cooperate with my good idea. And Jan said, Doreen, your gift is persuasion and teaching, but you used it to try to get your way. You thought if you told him one more time, you could convince him what a good idea it was, and he would agree. I thought, you know you're right. I was doing that in my own strength, and that was sin. And I was beginning to slump into the pity party. God, did I do that again? And then Jan said, you know, that's the most wounded man I've ever seen in my life. I said, what do you mean? She said, he was the most wounded man I've ever seen in my life. Obviously, he had very, very deep wounds to cause him to respond in that way. That helped me to see it from a perspective I hadn't seen it. And I thought, oh God, I have added to this man's misery. For 2 days before I went back to get my stuff, I said, God, how am I to do this? So he gave me a strategy. When I went back the next morning, 2 days later, he was there. He had done his project. Oh, you're back again. Yep, here I am. And he said, well, so-and-so will go up there with you, and he'll do it all for you. And I said, well, thank you. Before I go, I must say to you that I need to apologize for adding stress to your already stressful day. He said, oh, honey, it's okay. And his heart melted, and for the first time I saw a smile. So I'm still learning, I'm still growing, and I'm still figuring out how to do this. Let's do it together. Let's let God inspect us. Let's listen to those around us to see what he may be saying to us so that we can step into freedom. Let's embrace inspection. Let's look forward to what God's showing us in us and through us and personally when he speaks to us or through other people. Graham Cook said, your intimacy with Jesus will be your greatest weapon in stepping into the new freedom. So continue to walk in intimate fellowship with Jesus, being open to the inspection of the Lord through whomever he uses, because he wants us to step out of our comfortable place and walk with him into new horizons. So I challenge you as I close today, all of us are wounded, warrior soldiers to one degree or another, but God wants to bring healing into our life. And this is a season that he says he wants to bring healing into our life. So let's look at those around us with new eyes, welcoming the inspection of the Lord, because as we agree with him and say, you know, I just sinned and I'm weak and I need your help and I want to listen to the Lord personally and through you and walk in a new dimension. Are you in? Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your love, that you love us so much that you tell us the truth even when it hurts. And that when you tell us the truth, it's to set us free. But it might make us miserable first. But as we keep our eyes on you through the misery, we will step higher. And we will not be like the Israelites wandering around and around and around in the wilderness. But we'll move upward and onward, getting to know you and releasing ourselves to your inspection. So I speak to your spirit and I say, Spirit, you're perfect. You're perfect. Keep your eyes on your Heavenly Father. I speak to your soul and I say, soul, you've done a good job, but now your time of wrestling and struggling is over. Now I bind your mind to the mind of Christ, your will to the will of the Father, and your emotions to the Holy Spirit to be healed and to experience Father's heart. And I loose from you every work that the enemy has put upon you so that you can step into a new freedom with him. And body, I say, body, you look into the kingdom of God that is within you and see yourself much better than you are right now and bring forth that new body that we be healthy and whole and let the spirit of the living God that's healing flow not only through our spirit, our soul, and our body and bring us forth to be what you wrote in our book before the foundation of the world, that we can fulfill every jot and tittle of that. And I thank you that you're doing that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.